everybody. It's Dawn here, and I'm talking with Jamie Paquin. She's the type of person who I've always envied, seemingly never to have a plan before making a decision, having a really adventurous life, and not ever seeming to talk themselves out of things, which I've always envied. So, hi, Jamie. Thank you for being here and telling your stories.
Hi.
So let's just jump right in. Let's talk about when you lived in Colorado and you decided to quit your job and travel the world.
Okay, well, I was working at a video production job, which I enjoyed, but I was feeling kind of stale. I needed some adventure in my life. I needed to do something. So I decided that I really wanted to take a trip around the world before I got settled down in marriage or kids or some other thing. And I really wanted to move to California because I wanted to pursue surfing. I had gone to a surf camp a few years before and loved it and decided I'm going to become a surfer. So anyways, I planned this trip and it was going to be a surf around the world trip, even though I was a total beginner.
Wow.
And that's how it started.
That's great. And so so what did it take? What was your decision-making process like?
I think I just decided I was going to do it and then that was it. I was doing it. Once I decide in my head that I'm going to do something, in hindsight, now I can see every time I do this, I follow through and do it. When I make a plan, I get a seed planted in my own head and I just get so excited by it that it drives me through each day that I can't wait to do this. So it's something to look forward to. I like make myself have something to look forward to.
That's crazy to me because most people who make decisions think about the money, think about the timing, the job, the not having a job. I mean, all the practical stuff that goes into it. So it's really crazy to me to think about making that kind of a decision, not only quitting your job, but traveling the world without those things coming into play.
Yeah, I did. It took 6 months for me to leave my job. I was working on a project and I actually did save every cent that I was making in those 6 months. I can live very minimally. I'm not materialistic. I don't require anything extra in life. So I was pretty much saving everything besides rent and food. And so I had a nice little nest egg for myself that I could live on for a year. Basically, I wanted to take a year off.
And had you made the decision to move to California when you were done, or did that come after?
That actually came before I decided that I was going to move to California and pursue surfing. But I didn't know where I was going to move in California. We went to California basically blind. We had a general idea of an area, no place to stay. We were going to camp if we couldn't find an apartment. And it all worked out, though. We found an apartment within a few days.
So you say we, but in the beginning, it was just you making this plan and you were going to travel solo. So what happened before you left?
Yes, I was going to travel solo. I had previously traveled solo to Brazil and loved that experience of traveling solo. And in the midst of planning this trip, I started dating someone. You know, we thought we were in love. You know, you feel that excitement. He really wanted to come on the trip. And I thought, what a perfect person to come on the trip. It's going to be so fun. We were kind of in the honeymoon stage. And he was super religious, so he wanted to get married to not be living in sin. And I, with my free spirit, I was like, sure. So we did that. It was totally crazy. I remember telling all my friends, you guys are just must think I am a nutty nut job. But we got married and then he came on the trip and it was really fun, actually.
So you got married to this guy that you didn't know for very long only because you wanted him to come along with you.
Yeah, he really wanted to come along and then it kind of sounded like a good idea. You know, I was in that honeymoon stage of a relationship and I was like, this is going to be so fun. And it probably took the edge off of doing it myself too. Part of me does wish that I did go solo by myself, but I've done other solo things since. So I've fulfilled that desire many times over since then.
And so you also, I love what you say about everything always works out. And it makes me think that many times we don't allow ourselves the opportunity to see that. So you had some great examples, like when I think it was Italy that you guys went to where you got to see that everything always works out.
Oh yes. In Italy, we showed up on some pilgrimage day for the Catholic religion. And when we came to the airport and got a taxi cab driver, we said, just take us to somewhere, some kind of hotel or place we can find accommodations. And he's like, you're not going to find anywhere. You guys are crazy. You didn't plan. This is the busiest time of the year here. And anyways, we did find someplace, and it was a cute little quaint cobblestone street inn type place. And it was awesome. And there always is something, I feel like there's always something somewhere for everyone. There's just, as long as you don't put up the boundaries yourself, you don't freak out when it happens that someone else is negative to you. And it always works out. It's the only way I can describe it. You can always camp, right? If nothing else happens, you just camp.
So you didn't have a plan. You kind of knew where you were going. You knew the countries that you were going to, but you didn't have places to stay lined up. You didn't have an itinerary, right?
Right. Just had a general idea. We want to surf at this break. When we get there, we'll figure out how we're going to get there. Maybe take a bus. Maybe we'll rent a car. We were loose. We were totally loose when we showed up in every country. We'd go to the tourist office. Most airports have them. And, say what accommodations. We wanted to be cheap. We were traveling pretty inexpensively, doing hostels and different things. But we stayed in all different kinds of places, and we winged it. We winged the whole trip.
And there was nothing outstanding? There was no danger? There was no times when you didn't have a place to stay?
No. It always worked out. One time in Tahiti, we wanted to go to Bora Bora, which is kind of an exclusive upscale resort area, but we wanted to go on the cheap. So we met a traveler who happened to be a former homicide detective who was turning into a life coach. And so he told us, I heard this cargo ship that we can just be on deck for like $10. And it's a 17-hour ride across the Pacific on this cargo ship. And we're like, we're in. And so we're hiking to find this cargo ship with backpacks. We had backpacks. And we're hiking and hiking. We're just when we're about to be done, we had to take a break. We already got heat exhaustion. We're so hot. I turn and look, and there is the office for the cargo ship. It was just this little tiny door with the name of the cargo ship. And we're like, here we are.
That's crazy. And you never would have known that had you not been open to meeting people and talking to new people and finding out this information.
Right. But the funny part of that story is that how we were hiking, we were lost. And then we just stopped to take a rest, and we turned, and there it was.
Oh my God.
It's so crazy. Yeah.
I feel like you can, that's like the story of life, that sometimes we get so close to something, but we don't see it. And then we make another plan. And then, how far away are we from these cargo ships that could really be great in our lives at that point?
Right. And I think fear and expectations stop people from doing things, because you expect too much from situations. Sometimes people want to be pampered, or they think they should have an accommodation set up in a perfect hotel and then everything arranged for them. And they're afraid to not have it set up that way. But it's so much fun if you just go and see what happens.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a great story. Any other stories about your world travels at that point in time?
I can't really think of anything specific that relates to that. I caught my first unbroken wave in Australia, which made me go back to Australia two times after that. This is the first place that I really surfed for real. So
that is when a wave just doesn't stop.
Yeah, that's when you catch it yourself and it keeps going and you stay on it and are able to turn and do whatever. So yeah, that was really fun.
Was that everything that you had imagined it to be?
It was. And I had desire to go back there from that moment. And then I took a couple solo trips to Australia years later from that.
And did you and your husband travel well together?
Yeah, we did. We were both kind of free spirits, open to whatever was happening. Yeah, we did. One, we had a funny thing happen in Thailand. We were hiking through jungle, and the jungle had ropes in certain areas because the trail was so steep. And we're hiking and hiking and hiking, sweating. It was really hot. And we're lost. And we're like, how are we going to get out of this? And we came out to finally a clearing. We were just right where we had just started. We had walked in this humongous circle. We were so sweaty. I have one picture from that, and it was hysterical.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, my gosh. What great stories. And do you have
We didn't let that stuff bother us. Like, that didn't ruin our night. We decided, let's start over. Let's think clearly. Because we were trying to hike to get to a restaurant. Let's go find this restaurant. And we ended up finding it.
And it's funny now. I suppose at the time you were just so miserable, but it's kind of hilarious now.
We were kind of like, are you kidding me? We just walked in a couple miles circle? Seriously? Oh,
my gosh. All right. So then you came back to Colorado and you were going to, you both of you were going to move to California.
Mm-hmm. Came back to Colorado to get my dog. And then September 11th happened right at that time, literally. And, but we still had made this plan. I already had quit my job, but I worked there for about a month and we just loaded my stuff in a U-Haul and drove to California.
And you had no idea where you were going?
No, we knew like the South Bay of Los Angeles because I had known, I had met a couple people here through MusicLink traveling. And so I knew this area, but we didn't have, you know, we just had to come here and look on, I forget how, even where we looked to find an apartment, but we found one right away. And that was it. And I didn't work. I decided to not work for the rest of that year. That was my plan. And I just went and surfed every day and enjoyed the sun. It was sunny every day in California and it was wonderful.
Wow. What a life. And so when you decided to work, what did you decide to do?
I couldn't really decide. I had taken a job as a 911 dispatcher at the police department. My money had ran out. I always wait till my money runs out, which is silly because then I'm kind of forced to make a decision now. And I got this job and it was a horrible job for me. Too much information of crazy negative things. And so it reminded me of a time that I had met this musician working for MusicLink and I had said he had traveled between different houses. And I said, what do you do with your dogs? Because he really liked his dogs. We were sitting in his living room. And he was really into them. He said, oh, I have a pet sitter. And I remembered that in California. And he had told me, because in Colorado, pet sitters weren't common yet. And he said, yeah, have a pet sitter. They watch the dogs when I travel. And it was always kind of in the back of my mind, what a great job. Because I love animals and I absolutely love dogs. And so I thought about it. And that 911 thing was just too crazy for me. So I quit that and started the pet sitting. Well, not just that quickly, but
how did that happen?
Yeah, I needed a pet sitter for my dog. So I looked in the phone book, the guy with the biggest ad, I called him. And while talking in our interview, I told him that I also had been maybe interested in starting a pet sitting type business. And he out of the blue said, well, I'm actually getting married in a few weeks. Would you mind running my business for me? See how you said you could feel it out, see if you like it. And that would work out perfect. You could even see if you like this business. So that's what we did. We met, we bonded instantly. He trusted me, I trusted him. And I went with him probably for a few days, met a lot of his clients. And I ran his business for like 3 weeks. And then after that, since he had that huge ad in the phone book that made me call him, he had way too much business for his own business to handle. So he gave me all his overflow. So I got about 75% of my clients from him just because he had extra clients he couldn't take care of.
That so just that, sounds crazy to me. I mean, there's so many people out there who just have such a problem, you know, getting jobs and starting their own thing. And here, all you do is point to an ad in the phone book and you're a pet sitter.
Yeah, I had a flow of clients all of a sudden. Yeah, yeah, it was really amazing. I didn't have to do crazy marketing. I always liked making business cards and little flyers and stuff. So I had a nice little package put together, but I'm not a marketing person. So I didn't have to really do that because once you have one client, then they recommend their friends. And then I just wanted enough for me to handle. I didn't want to start some big empire. So it was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It sounds perfect. And so how long did that happen?
I did that from 2003 to 2009 when I became pregnant with my daughter.
Wow. And this is not with the original guy, right?
No. So him and I stayed together for 5 years. And then his religion thing kicked in once the honeymoon phase wore off. And it was a reality of we're completely incompatible with this religion. We actually are great friends. We're still friends now. We were great friends then. And it was a total amicable divorce. And so I decided, you know, you need to find someone in your religion. You'll be much happier to have this life plan with somebody. And then I met my current husband surfing out in the water one day.
And it's amazing to me that you married the first guy just so that you can travel together, but it actually lasted a while.
Yeah. Yeah, we were pretty good teammates. You know, we got along well, and yeah.
I'm sure everybody was surprised.
Oh, yeah. I think the people, it was given that Jamie is being crazy. Definitely.
Yeah. So you have a daughter, and did you give up your pet sitting gig?
I kept it actually until last October. I had hired a couple people and they were working it, but I just gave it up because it just doesn't work with having a young child. And right. So now I'm on to think, what am I going to do next?
And so before that, you went to Australia a few times, right? And how did you manage that?
I had met this woman at some event for dog sitting that where all kind of dog people were. And she was retired, and she had told me that she was thinking about doing this kind of job. And I said, but she didn't want to do it full time. And I said, well, you know what? I really want to travel. So how about you run the business when I travel, which I like to go for a couple months. So you run it, and you keep 100% of the profit when you do it. And I keep 100% when I do it. And that worked out perfect for her. She loves it. She still is actually doing it.
Wow, that's like full circle. You gave somebody else an entry in.
Yeah, exactly. And it worked out for both of us. It was perfect for both of us. So it was win-win.
That's amazing. And so at the time, you wanted to take your first trip back to Australia, but you didn't have the money.
Oh, yeah, I didn't have any money, but I was like, I can earn money. I'm capable of earning money. I have great credit. So I really, really wanted to go back to that surf spot.
And I thought, this is before you had your daughter?
Yes, long before. Okay. This is, yeah. And so I just had my credit card, the zero balance, and I just put everything on the credit card.
Wow.
And I remember I ended up spending in 2 months $3,333. And I remember because it was all threes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was so proud of myself. The exchange rate was really great back then. Now it's not as good. But, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just pay it off when I get back and I'll work, you know, work all the time and pay it off. And it totally worked out. And so then the next year I did that again.
So the first time you went, you got a van and you just drove up and down the coast and surfed, right?
Yeah. And the first time I went, I actually just showed up and answered an ad on the wall that said, going to Byron Bay, want to share gas. And I called the guy and he's like, I'm leaving in 10 minutes. I go, okay, I'll go with you.
Jeez, are you kidding me?
And I'm still friends with that guy. He lives in Austria. And we became good friends on that trip. And then probably halfway through that trip, I decided to get my own van. I was kind of caravanning. I was in their van with him and a couple other girl travelers. And I decided to get my own van. And then the next year when I went back, I just got my own van from the get-go. I had a general plan on that first trip of different surf spots I wanted to hit. And here's another funny coincidence. So I go to a surf shop because I need a bag for my surfboard. Before that, I didn't even have a surfboard, right? But I had this old yellow thing that could fall apart in a second. But I had a kind of surfboard that I thought in my mind I wanted. And I kid you not, somebody put a surfboard like that in my yard one morning.
What?
I swear. And it ended up being a neighbor who I had never met, but had seen me have surfboards. And so he said he didn't know anything about me taking a trip. And he said he thought I could use it because it was just sitting in his garage. And I thought, I'm taking that surfboard to Australia. And
that's then crazy.
It was crazy. And so I needed to get a bag for it. So I'm at this little surf shop in Hermosa Beach. And I'm talking about, I'm taking this trip to Australia to the guys that I need a good bag. Two representatives from some surf company in Australia were just happened to be in there. And they're like, where are you going to go? And I said, I don't know. And they said, what kind of surfer are you? So I told them my level and what kind of waves I like. And they told me, you need to go here, 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 and here, and here. And they gave me like a list of the beaches that I should hit for the kind of surfing that I wanted to do. And I did hit all those beaches.
So that is crazy. How does that happen to you?
I don't know.
I feel like part of it is that you just allow these things to happen. I think, I mean, I don't know. This is just from my perspective. Mm-hmm. That we're so busy planning and like you said, expecting and you know, everything, every space has got to be planned. And so the things that do pop up, we don't notice because we, our sights are set on another plan. And with people like you, I feel like you don't really have a plan, so you can easily see those things that pop up, right?
Right. And I'm also kind of my ears perked because I have a loose plan that I hope I'm taking in information from everywhere to see what's going to happen. You know, because I feel like you never know, you know, the guy standing next to you could be someone that's super interesting to what you want to do, or, you know, just being open. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you said you're not necessarily an extrovert, right?
No, but when I get excited about these things, I want to find something, I feel like I am open. But no, I can be the most closed person in a situation as well. You know, yeah. But traveling, I've always liked myself traveling, and I always try to incorporate that into where I live. And it's hard to do. I don't know what the difference is where you live versus when you're in another country. But whenever I'm in another country, I'm totally open and more easygoing and free spirited. And when I'm here, you know, you're more tunnel vision. You're just got doing your own thing. But when I have these trips planned and I'm out in the, even in where I live, I'm open to suggestions from people. And it just seems that something's always gained from that by being open. It's hard to be open, though, I feel, where you live with all the day-to-day routine, I think just smacks it in the, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's what stifles that openness. It's just constant going through your mail every day, checking your email, you know, your voice messages. It's that routine. When you're traveling, you don't really have that.
And plus, you're a big proponent of traveling solo, right? Because then you're forced to get out of your comfort zone and talk with people and make new friends. And
yeah, and it's challenging. I love that challenge. I kind of like that feeling of unease a little bit. That's why I like going camping too, or going backpacking in the woods, because I'm afraid of hearing animals' little feet crunching in the leaves. But I love to confront that fear.
So perfect segue then. Let's talk about, you have a quest that you now do with your daughter. You wanted something to do with her that would help you bond with her and also to be a bit challenging for you.
Yes. So I had gotten back into hiking and via this whole thing, I had read Bill Bryson's book, Into the Woods, on a pet sitting gig one night, doing an overnight. And that book made me laugh out loud. And it reminded me of different times I had hiked. And so, you know, I just had that spark in my head. And then years later, I joined this motherless daughter conference, which was happening in Los Angeles. It's a one-time, it was the one only time thing that happened, actually. And Cheryl Strayed, the author of the book Wild, was one of the speakers. And I didn't really know anything about her yet, except for that she was a motherless daughter, and she had this book she wrote about backpacking. So I thought, well, let me read this book before I go to this conference. And I just loved the book. First of all, she explained grief exactly how I felt it when I lost my mother. And plus the whole backpacking aspect. And I can understand, you know, that walking and the suffering and everything about it. I just loved it. And so it kind of sparked my interest into hiking again. And I had been thinking, what am I going to do with my daughter? I want to do something really cool with her, keep her attached to nature and the outdoors, and we live in a affluent area. I don't want her to become materialistic, blah, blah, blah. And so I thought, yeah, let's hike the Pacific Crest Trail. Well, I'm not willing to take her out of school and do homeschooling, which you would have to do like a 6-month trail for, especially for a kid. And it's I would love to do that, but I just can't go that route. So I thought of what other way could I do it? And I thought, well, let's do little pieces, and her and I will do it every year. And then at the end of our lifespan, at some point, we have to walk 2,600 miles. You know, we'll have 5-year-old to a 30-year-old.
Wow.
She's 5 now, and we would finish it when she would be 30, pretty much.
So 25 years of a portion of the trail every year until you've done the entire thing.
Exactly. That's what I want to do, and I hope I can stick to it.
That's great. So you did your first segment last month. How did that go?
That was incredible. We did 27 miles in section A. Initially, I thought I would start right at the border and just like work my way up in a logical order. But then I saw the elevation for one thing, which was going uphill. So that would have been too much, I think, to put on a little kid and me too. And the first 20 miles is a waterless stretch. So I would have to carry so much extra water. It's a little bit dangerous with the border patrol and all that happening down there. So I picked a section that was a little bit farther up that was a little less. I had water every 5 miles. It was going to be easy for us to do a short amount of miles. So we did 27 miles in 5 days.
And you did it the opposite direction than most people do it, right? You went towards Mexico?
We went north to south. Most people go south to north. But, you know, people do the whole trail. They start in Washington and then end in Mexico. So it does, people do go both ways.
Okay.
But we're kind of going to go different ways. So the next leg next year is going to go from where we started heading north.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Your daughter's five.
Five.
Uh-huh. How did she do?
She was incredible. She literally never complained one time. You know, I wanted to take some breaks here and there, but no more than I was happy to take those breaks too. I mean, she really impressed me. And I think it was so good too for me to see her in that light. You know, she was almost like an equal on that trail in some instances.
Wow.
Like there was one time where I wanted to camp at this place. You're not really supposed to camp. It's just a picnic area. But it was perfect for us because it had water and it had a bathroom and it had spots where people camp. And we had met two guys who had said they had camped there. So don't worry about it. Just do it. We get there and I'm afraid to set up the tent. And then Lily's like, Mom, no one's going to come and kick us out. It's Easter Sunday. They're all home with their families. And I was like, you know, she's right. She was like, aww, for some reason.
And so does she have any idea what this is? I mean, 25 years, that's a hard thing for a five-year-old to comprehend.
I don't think she does. I don't even know if I've totally explained it to her. She wants to do the whole trail, though. What she thinks it is. And so I'm just, as she gets older, I'll fully explain it to her. And hopefully she'll be on board through all the teenage years, and who knows? I mean, she'll probably have a family someday, but hopefully we can keep it up. And we'll do longer miles too, eventually.
Yeah, and so what happens, what do you think if she gets to the point where she doesn't want to do it anymore? Do you think you'll try and talk her into it, or will you continue to do it?
I'm hoping that since we started so young, that this will just be something we do.
And so I guess just to wrap up, do you have any advice for people like me who maybe plan a little too much or talk themselves out of things?
Just have to take that leap of faith. I mean, and I always would say, I'm smart. I can work and get a job again when I come back from this trip. And it's fine. You know, it'll all work out.
And you've seen things always work out. So I love hearing that from you.
Right. And you have to be maybe open to taking different kinds of jobs, not the one you necessarily thought you were going to take. And just stay open. Because other jobs are fun too. You know, the school system has this kind of set up to follow one path, but your interests change over time, right? So you just got to stay open to whatever you're passionate and interested in. I think that's the best kind of jobs to go for.
Well, gosh, thanks for telling me your stories.
Sure,
I'm very inspired.
Well, good. I can't wait to hear about the next trip you're going to take.
Right? Well, thanks so much for talking to me, and good luck. Keep us posted on your quest. I can't wait to hear about. I can't wait to see the final video.
Okay, so next year we'll have to do a talk right after I'm done with the second version.
totally, I love it. We'll put something together, and then you'll be what? How old will you be when you're done?
70.
Yes.
I mean, it all sounds absurd, but this is the plan.
I love it. I love it. I just love it. And I love that you didn't talk yourself out of it because it would take so long. Like, you just, you know, you just keep moving one step at a time.
Yeah, I'm just going to think about next year. I've already got a loose itinerary of what we're going to do. And that's it.
That's great. Thanks so much for sharing.
Thank you so much, Dawn.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye.